The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Good morning and welcome. We have come here today to remember before God our brother Jeff, to give thanks for his life, to commend him to God, our merciful Redeemer and Judge, to commit his body to be cremated, and to comfort one another in our grief. We bow our heads for the opening prayer. God of all consolation, your Son, Jesus Christ, was moved to tears at the grave of Lazarus, his friend. Look with compassion on your children in their loss. Give to troubled hearts the light of hope, and strengthen in us the gift of faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hang on, getting there. I find it slightly ironic that I'm stood here trying to put Dad into words, because he was never really a big talker. Phone calls were always a bit tricky because he couldn't hear and didn't speak. However, I'll do my best. I also think he would find it rather funny that I'm talking to a pretty much empty room but being broadcast on a website. When I was writing this, it occurred to me that Dad wasn't born when I was. He had in fact had half his life already by then. And starting from fairly humble beginnings, his fierce intelligence propelled him through grammar school and university. A first from Cambridge in classics can't be too bad. He was without question one of the most intelligent people I ever met. But he was so unassuming with it that I doubt anyone ever felt intimidated by it, and he was always ready to share his brain. I remember once trying desperately to figure out an A-level further maths question and getting nowhere quite slowly. Dad offered to have a look, so I very gratefully pointed out to him that he hadn't done maths since he was a teenager. But he had a go anyway and solved it in about 2.5 minutes. That was possibly as annoying as playing call my bluff with Mum and Dad, but it shows both his intelligence and his kindness. Anyway, I digress. He spent a lot of his time as a young adult with his family. I've been told family holidays consisted of Dad driving with his dad up in the front, brother, sister-in-law and Mum in the back, and the three nieces in the boot. Health and safety wasn't a thing back then. They travelled all over the country, where apparently we built magnificent sandcastles with turrets and flying buttresses, which I remember from our holidays. The fact that he always had a large Ford estate was again testament to his kindness and love of his family. Certainly a young single man didn't need such a large cars for himself. And his nieces have told me they always thought of him as rather glamorous and sophisticated, which made me giggle and is making my sons giggle at the front right now. Not only because he had a car, but also because he travelled all over Europe at a time when foreign travel was unusual, a bit like now. Wherever he went, he always took lots of photos and bought presents back for his nieces. I have a multitude of photos of various ancient Greek and Roman ruins. The only trouble is, he was always behind the lens, and the photo at the front of the Order of Service is pretty much the most recent one I could find. He shared his love of the classics and Russian with countless students over his many years teaching, not to mention meeting Mum while he was at it. They always used to joke they were school sweethearts. But apparently you did not want to play him at bridge in the staff room. And then brother and I came along. My overriding memories of Dad are how kind and gentle he was. He always had time for me, even when I offered to help him with whatever DIY he was doing at the time. You would have thought someone so intelligent might at least have the decency to be a bit useless at building things, but not my dad. Some of the things I can remember him building when I was young are a superb puppet theatre, an enormous doll's house with working electricity, of course, a farm, which he made for his nieces and is apparently why Sue became a vet, which is still going and still getting played with, a sandpit, multitudes of dens and sand creations and many other things. And he never stopped. When he sold his car in his mid-80s, much to everyone's relief, he transformed the garage into a games room for the grandkids. He might not have talked much, but he always showed his love with his generosity of time and spirit. And that spilt over to the grandkids. Despite all the noise, chaos and general mayhem that inevitably ensued when we visited, he would never run out of patience or kindness with them. I sometimes wonder if he used to turn his hearing aid down occasionally to take the edge off. He would read to them, build them things, mend them again when they'd broken them, play games with them, and I know he looked forward to our visits. In short, he adored them. So I think it's only right that I finish with their thoughts about him. We had a long and detailed conversation about their memories of their granddad, and they came up with the following. He was a nice bloke who was good at fixing things and crosswords. And they're right, he was the nicest, kindest, most gentle man I knew, and I'm going to miss him.
Thank you. Our Bible reading is taken from the first letter of John, chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Of course, our prayers today will be focusing on you as Jeff's immediate family and on a good many more who will be feeling his loss who can't be with us. Death is never easy. People often want to know what the Christian faith might have to say in the face of loss and suffering. And of course, those questions may be amplified with the huge uncertainties and most probably further complications and difficulties that we face in the months ahead. Even in ordinary times, I'm aware, many people ask how we can continue to believe in a God of love amid so much anguish and suffering and pain. And it's a question to which there are no easy answers. For Christians, every bit as much as those who aren't, when we see people near us suffer, it can seem to be extremely hard to believe that such a God of love is really there. Why then do we persist in our faith? What makes us so sure that there's a God who cares for each one of us in the face of a good deal of evidence which seems to suggest not? Well, for myself and for many Christians, one reason why we continue to have faith is because we believe there's more than just the evidence of human suffering to consider. There's also all that God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. One of the verses from the Bible that I read earlier said this: "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." Christians believe the clearest evidence for God's love lies in the fact that despite the mess our world has got itself into, God hasn't abandoned us. He's come to earth himself in the person of his Son, and he's been prepared to suffer and die on the cross to rescue us from our sins. And that means that no matter what our life's been like in the past, The Christian conviction is that because of Jesus' death on the cross, there is now no barrier between us and God. Indeed, he's longing for each one of us to come to know him in a personal way. And it's my hope and my prayer that maybe even for some today, this time of loss and sadness might be a time when we begin to discover what it means to come to know that God who loved us enough to die for us. He doesn't promise that knowing him will remove all our hurt and our pain and our difficulties, but he does offer to be our guide and our comforter through it all. Amen. Let's pray. God of mercy, Lord of life, you have made us in your image to reflect your truth and light. We give you thanks for Jeff, for the grace and mercy he received from you, for all that was good in his life, for the memories we treasure today. Lord Jesus, your mighty power brings joy out of grief and life out of death. Look in mercy, we pray, on all who mourn. Give to each one patient faith in times of darkness and strengthen them with the knowledge of your love. Heavenly Father, you are tender towards your children and your mercy is over all your works. Heal the memories of hurt and failure. Give us the wisdom and the grace to use aright the time that is left to us here on earth, to turn to Christ and follow in his steps in the way that leads to everlasting life. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Do join in if you're familiar with the words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Please stand. Let us commend Jeff to the mercy of God, our Maker and Redeemer. God, our Creator and Redeemer, by your power, Christ conquered death and entered into glory. Confident of his victory and claiming his promises to all who believe, we entrust Jeff to your mercy in the name of Jesus our Lord, who died and is alive and reigns with you now and forever. Amen. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and of great goodness. As a father is tender towards his children, so is the Lord tender to those that fear him. For he knows of what we are made, he remembers that we are but dust. Our days are like the grass, we flourish like a flower of the field. When the wind goes over it, it is gone and its place will know it no more. But the merciful goodness of the Lord endures for ever and ever toward those that fear him, and his righteousness upon their children's children. Amen. We have entrusted our brother Jeffrey to God's mercy, and we now commit his body to be cremated. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life for all who believe. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our frail bodies that they may be conformed to his glorious body, who died, was buried, and rose again for us. To him be glory forever. Amen. Support us, O Lord, all the day long of this troublous life, until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes. The busy world is hushed, the fever of life is over, and our work is done. Then, Lord, in your mercy, grant us a safe lodging, a holy rest, and peace at the last, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Unto him that is able to keep us from falling, and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever.